Now, if you get down to your serious business now, let me show you something.
There is obviously a way to die properly.
I had a letter from a chap about that last week. He said I'd said and talked recently. You didn't die unless you wanted to, unless you were ready to. The question was, could he, by strength of will, kill me even if I didn't want to kill? And there's lots of funny letters like that. Not all of them are stamped, just some of them. Well, the answer to the question is, if it's possible for someone to kill you by his own will, and you don't want to go, and the answer is, yes, if he's that much stronger than you are, and you believe him. It's all a question of convenience, if you're living and dying, isn't it? And as we pointed out to the fact, you can't really fully die, unless you're really fully intelligent in what you do. And remember, we pointed out that most of them are not in their bodies. They're not focusing their existence in their situation. Most of them are dreaming far away. And that situation is another being than the one they're in. You can't really die properly and physically in the middle of a vague dream, can you? So the first thing is you have to be incarnate, fully. And attendant where you are before you can fully experience the death of that condition. Which means you're not supposed to be dreaming if you want to die suddenly. I mean, you can't give up or die to egotism unless you totally understand just how egotistic you are. Can you? We have to realize ourselves terribly before we can know what it means to give it up. Which means become more intense in oneself. If you can't die to yourself unless you know yourself. All the great mystics and all the religions talk about holy living and holy dying. They go together. If you're not holy living, you can't holy die. So if you really want holy to die, first you must holy live. That means being 100% you in you, in each moment of your being, so that you really know what condition you're in before you give it up. Does that answer your question?
Well, yes,
to a certain extent. How much to the other extent?
Would you say something about the actual process of the rejection that when Christ resolved to die, what actually happened in him at the moment that he let go of his what did he let go of? Did he let go of the inertia in himself that is generated by his living? And what could he let go of?
In Gethsemane, he got rid of his inertia. At the point of his death, he is 100% initiative. He has to say his work is finished, and fully himself, otherwise the work is not finished. How many loose ends do people have in themselves most of the time? There are material factors under consideration, emotional relations, matters of experimentation, matters of logic, matters of will, consciousness. How many of those are co-present simultaneously in each moment we live? How many has the individual got hold of from moment to moment?
Well, I of it.
Couldn't then, if another is you let go at any point of 100% initiative. If you are not 100% initiative with 100% of the sun, you've got no sun.
You rescind the element. Most people are terribly rescinded. I mean, particularly today, where we have statistics in the law, showing that most people's emotional relations are not with their so-called, quote, legitimate selves. They're over the hills and far away on imaginary better relationships, are with all the complications of the rescinding. In divorce statistics about 1 in 2. Yes, and it said in America 1 in 1. And where are they? Because they've been taken to the cleaners. That's frustrated wife. Yes. They've been emotionally shattered by having to give up their self-immunity. Their history is undergoing division so they can tell ex-people in an acceptable way. Their logic is very deficient, and their free will non-existent because they're entirely reactive. So where are they? They're nearly all loose ending, aren't they? And this goes on all through the world. Think of the problem of AIDS, as it spreads, involving millions of people now. Isn't that loose ending? So are we really the kind of unity we think we are?
No.
It's a unity and ideal which we might have that if we could work hard enough, considering the weight of inertia and ancestral behaviour and governmental and educational forces, what kind of a battle is it?
Total
war. Certainly. Now the planet Saturn, with its ring around it, most of it is the planet. There are rings around others, but they're vague or even invisible to us. But the planet Saturn has always been used as a symbol of individuation caused through rejected sacrifice. There's a star in the middle of the system, and the planet furthest out of the individual order, Saturn, and it offered itself to the sun in the symbology, and the sun threw it back, it made a ring around Saturn, whereby Saturn was individuated and became the symbol of individuation. It's this offering of Saturn to the sun and being accepted by the sun, then Saturn would have gone into the sun. It wouldn't have been Saturn. There had been no ring around it to serve as a symbol. There had been no individuation within the services and the understanding. Now all those people who suffer, and most people do to some degree, a sense of rejection, if they knew it, they would be most grateful for it. Because their rejection is the guarantee of their individuation. Lots and lots of people say, my mother rejects me, or my father rejects me, or the boyfriend, or the girlfriend, or the wife, or the husband rejected me. Woe is me. They should say, good. This rejection throws me back on me. And that is the ground of my individuation. How many feel like that when they're actually rejected?
The unseen
piece of
the substance of the body.
Yes.
Has this anything to do with the bread and the wine?
Oh, yes.
Of Christ?
Mm. Yes.
It
feels to me that there is an
entering.
The universe is a living organism.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Like all organisms, it's made up of individual cells. in each cell, is a life in each cell. And the whole universe is an organism. So when any particular one is left by withdrawal of intention to maintain it, then the life of the universe takes over the abandoned body and uses it, fits into that body. It's a newly occupied territory, filled with other bodies, bacteria, viruses, and so on. There are no energies which are not alive. So the death of one, which is the withdrawal of the interest of its occupant, is immediately the occupation by the same deserted body by millions of lives. That's why I always feel quite happy when I see a thing like a dead mouse in the head, eaten by the grubs of a bluebottle. Nothing is wasted. Life is there, waiting to use what is abandoned by someone who's set out with maintaining it.
Yes.
Well, it's holy, isn't it?
Yes.
There is only one supreme life, and that is whole.
Yes.
And you participate by eating. Remember when Christ said, "You have to eat my body"? A lot of people are offended and left him, thinking that he meant that particular physically manifest body that was talking to him, they would have to eat it. To them, that meant cannibalism. But they didn't understand that all cannibals. There is only one living body, the body of God, and everybody is eating it. The particular ritual of the Eucharist in a church is merely a little reminder of the fact, cosmically, that we are eating God's body all the time. And drinking his wine, that is his spiritual life. We can't not do it. If that life were withdrawn, we'd all drop dead.
When he said to Mary, "This is my body,"
yes.
Which body is he talking about? Is he talking about his son's physical body? Or is he talking about a gross material body?
Well, if you took that body of yours and gave it to the chemist and said, "Please abstract from it all the inorganic chemistry that normally constitutes it as a physical body," yeah? We took that away, we'd have a little heap of chemicals. We wouldn't have you. You know, there's an old saying that the soul is the form of the body. That means that the chemistry that constitutes you, which you have derived from food, is not your body. It's simply that you pack into your body to give it material inertia. Like your bones. Your bones are the will in the legs to stand up, and the arms to do work and so on. Bones are support, but they're calcium. Yeah? One or two other minerals, really.
Yeah.
Now, that calcium is not a living body of you, is it?
Yeah.
It's a chemical you have appropriated to eating, yeah, and packed into your body, which is exactly like you are. In other words, your real body is not your chemical body.
But it looks like my chemical body.
No, it doesn't. Your chemical body looks like you.
Yeah. So when Christ met Mary,
it was
your soul body, was it?
It's always your soul body.
Well, okay, but it wasn't his gross body. It wasn't the body that gets put 6 foot under and eaten by the world.
It was the same body that had been in the tomb, and when he said to her, "Don't touch me, I'm not yet ascended," he was telling her, "I'm in a transitional phase. If you touch me now, you interfere with the work and you could be in danger." The terrific power was operative in that moment.
So what was he doing?
Being himself.
But what was he doing with his body that was on the cross?
Yeah, we'd be quite clear that by body, we do not mean the chemistry of your body. Yeah?
Yes, I understand exactly what you say, but I don't understand just what exactly happened to Jesus Christ when he came down off the cross and was in a tomb, and there is that body, that flesh and bone and kidneys and heart and all the rest.
Well, when you're talking to me, your body is going like this, the end is going like this, to emphasize things. That chemistry being manipulated by your feeling intent to communicate. Now, the totality of your intention to be and to communicate is your real body. The chemistry is not your real body. It's borrowed from food. That's the part called dust. Yes? Your real self looks exactly like you, with your mood, your expression, as far as ordinary chemistry can adjust itself to its vibration.
So what do I really look like? Do I look
you. You look like you. You look like the kind of being you are, the way you think, the way you feel, the way you operate, the way you coordinate and so on. All the things that you will to do shape you.
So, if you die properly then, if you really have got it right, at the moment of death, you can generate yourself by self-determination to produce your eternal body.
No, you're already an eternal body before you start.
So what is it that Christ is doing then that this man before him didn't do at the moment of death?
Seeing the constitution of the chemistry to a finer and finer and finer condition.
So he's refining himself in those three days?
No, refining his chemistry.
Ah, so he's doing something...
Remember, your chemistry is only a mode of operation of power.
Right. So he is doing something with his chemistry.
Oh yes, he's changing the vibrational rate of it.
So is he appropriating it for himself?
If appropriate is used properly by you, yes. Because appropriate is from proprium, isn't it? Latin ownness. He's making it into him. So it's not mere external chemistry. You know, most of the things you eat, if you sit on the scale and eat a meal, and weigh it, and then you excrete, you find you've not lost anything. It's you there and you're actually there. The weight is what it was.
So before his crucifixion, his chemistry he had refined, or it was refined, to a level whereby he was able to do what he did.
And that's what Gethsemane was about. You have to be able to say, not my egoic, inertic will, but the will of the absolute is to operate in that means. That changes everything. The vibration of frequency of your physicality, your chemistry, changes on the emotion. You know that when you have an emotion, you change your chemistry. If your emotion is bad, by which I mean proud, covetous, envy, anger, those four nails, it's like that. You make yourself a very low-level coarse body. You can't understand higher matters. The body is too coarse. As you develop other feelings, contrary to those, not pride of egoic separativity, but recognition of yourself as a modality of an infinite spirit, your frequency changes, your chemistry changes. You can get insights out of it. You couldn't get the other way. Most people think they can retain their egoic individuality and then go and learn yoga or something and change, but they can't. As long as their motivation is egotistic, their body is egotistic, And it's a low level frequency that cannot get the insight that they want.
The thing was fully refined at the time of his death.
Yeah?
And subsequently reincarnated.
Yeah?
That refined process sort of reached a certain frequency, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So when you reincarnated, that don't happen.
Yeah?
What other things
were
taking place in
him? What in
that?
He came in the constitution of his body. When he said the work is finished,
yes.
That was the end of that process.
So
in him.
Yeah.
In him.
But
if he'd have been touched by a physical being of a lower level, there would have been a great interference and destruction. I don't know whether you've ever been so celibate with yourself in life that when you actually kissed a girl, sparks jumped from your teeth to hers. Have you had that? It's not so uncommon, if you think.
I've had that, actually.
Have
some work on
that. Well, that might make you sensitive. It's quite common that part of the Indian approach to love through Shakti worship is that if they remain celibate for a certain length of time, minimum 3 months, and then you have to put your hand near the breast of a woman, you'd actually hear and see a spark jump from your hand to the breast. So that stored energy. In other words, there is a rationale of refusal of excessive self-indulgence. Because you can play yourself out flat. Till you couldn't make a spark if you tried. Life is energy, yeah? And that energy will jump, gap, half across. If the potential is right between the two bodies.
Okay. Can you say something about when Christ said something about I will rebuild the church in 3 days, he's talking on the back of resurrection. If he was already talking about that before the death, was he practicing some sort of self-deception?
Deception? The essence of Christ is that he is love, truth. There's no deception there.
Why?
And it says in that passage, he spoke of the temple of his body. Not the one outside of sticks and stones. Again, it's the same problem. You change it in yourself. You kill this body, make it so horrible, I will withdraw from it, and you will see a process called death. And when it's completed, I will re-inhabit it at another level of vibration.
Incorruptible.
Of course. The whole aim is to gain incorruptibility. Corruption is when you fall apart through the inconsistency of your own position.
Would you say at the lower level of existence, a person who has been very ill and on the so-called death actually can reconstitute? Is that the same sort of thing
at the lower level? Yes, it can happen. I've seen conversions at the moment of death in people. And they've suddenly seen
the will.
It's a change. You can often tell whether a person has decided to die or to live in a terminal illness.
Yeah.
And have an insight that, oh, that's what life is about.
Yeah.
Most people think life. Right.
So there's a change of chemistry, isn't
it? Oh, yes.
A refinement of chemistry.
Definitely. That's why you get such things as a body that's been buried for some time. found to be not corrupted. When it should have been by ordinary law. That could have been so refined. People are actually corrupt at different rates when they die, you know. I've seen some very slow corruptions. Their bodies have lasted a long time. And I've seen some very weird and quite frightening ones. Because of the speed of the corruption. Within hours of death. Now to die like that, you must really be in a very bad temper at death. If you want to corrupt quickly after death and frighten the undertaker, you must get yourself in a bad temper first. Because that makes the chemistry of disintegration.
The best
thing to do with everything is accept it. Some people like burning bodies because it's cleaner, don't they?
But that must give very little time for any refining to be done.
It depends how hard the end of the body is working. I remember the ads that used to be on the posters and in the trains and on the buses about cremation. What a wonderful thing it is. It had a lot of things that it did for you, including it is cleaner, more hygienic. It does not take the land from the living, and right at the end, it's cheaper. Also, there's a very good rake-off from rings and gold teeth in the crematorium. I'm not joking about that. Only a few years ago, there was a big row about that. In a crematorium in the north. I mean, quite a lot of money out of dead teeth. So, the thing is, never mind about your own gross physical body. That's one where moth and dust corrupt. Attend to your real body, the form of you. Do you like your expression when you look in the mirror?
Sometimes.
When you don't, you know, if you don't like it, it's wrong.
If I don't like it?
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
You're making bad chemistry, it's making a bad expression. Mm. And that means you are not satisfied with you.
Yes.
Never mind whether anybody else is. If you're not satisfied with you at death, then you're unsatisfied. Well, that's on the way to the state called hell. What's worse than a disembodied spirit with no gross body, but a body of feelings and ideas, which are totally unacceptable to the man that made them?
Well, is that where the second death comes in?
Second death is when you look at yourself and don't like it. After the death of your body.
So it's another self-destruction.
Yes, because you can't bear it. So you have to not let it take it away. You catch yourself in a filthy temper. One of the things you can do with a kiddie in the middle of a tantrum is suddenly put a mirror in front of it like that. And it bumps his face in you. I was coming on a train from Stockport a few years ago, and I had a Philips record with me, a small one. And there was a little girl on the seat in front of me with her mother and father. And she was screaming, playing hell, and embarrassing her mother and father terribly. So I switched on my recorder, and I recorded a few minutes of this screaming behavior. Now, she'd never been recorded before, so there's a problem. The moment I switched on, she stopped. She looked at the recorder, looked at me. She knew who it was. Now, how did she know it was her? And she sank down with me, Mama and Papa. And near them thinking, oh, where did you buy that? And I said, it's just a tailor, sir. He said, it's a woman. I could have got a free one from Phillips for boosting that one. And he really insisted on knowing what make and what number it was and so on, but he was going to keep that girl quiet. Now, I've seen new babies, two of them, sit beside each other, touching each other, side to side, in front of a mirror. Do you know which baby they kiss? In the mirror? Themselves. Now, how did they know it's standing up the other one? It's weird, that, you know, really weird to see a baby preferring itself to another baby. It might be even a nicer baby. This is a bald-headed baby, and that one got nice curly hair. This will drop off later and then change colour. No, the fact is the soul is eternal and knows itself internally. But it's trying to make of itself an acceptable form to it. And the lower self is called egotistic self-limiting. And it wants to make itself into an acceptable being, which everybody will say, what a lovely being that is. And until it can do that, it's not satisfied. Until it does that, it's in hell.
So in the second death, what actually falls apart with
your notions? Your erroneous ideas of yourself.
Yeah.
All the internal self inconsistencies fall apart because they cannot logically hold together.
Anything which isn't integrated.
It can only be integrated under the conditions of universal logic. Logos. It's very frightening, that, you know, really, to think about this. And until you really like and affirm your image of you seen operative in the mirror, no kidding, you're not going to be happy with you. You're going to wish yourself dead. A lot of you commit suicide, you know, annually, because they don't like their image.
So what's left of most beings after the second death?
Scattering. You've only got two processes of energy, scattering, gathering. Gathering is integration of logically consistent propositions. Scattering is falling apart through logical inconsistencies. Hard work. How do you make all your ideas self-consistent? Do you like the idea of being intelligent, powerful, compassionate, helpful, worshipable, adorable, admired by other people?
Yeah.
Yes? And then when you examine what you do, and just it all gives you, you are so. Yes, you made it. Is that what happens?
No.
There's work to be done. Until you are, you cannot be satisfied with you, and you must disintegrate.
Can you just explain, in the second
death
process, the soul itself,
per se, doesn't say? No, the soul is not made of parts.
Yeah. The soul is the soul.
But what it does do is look at the disintegration of its erroneous ideas.
Now, where does the soul fit into the infinite?
The soul,
yeah,
doesn't fit in, it's just infinite in that place.
But it is a unique.
Well, it's entirely unique. Because the will of the absolute is to make uniquenesses. And each one, each individual soul, is a spiritual monad and is unique by the will of the absolute. That's why copying other people is a bad thing. Even clever people. And see, Hindu saying, better your own dharma, your own life way, no matter how badly performed, than that of another being, well copied.
Yeah,
so hard work. I often get said, but this is terribly hard work. The answer is yes, positive. Highest prize, highest price. Yes.
Is that the longest way?
You know,
this is the quick way, the one to
look. Hmm.
Can you explain that
one
as well?
Well, if you try to gather yourself intellectually, what you have to do is perceive the universe and then arrange all the percepts in formal interrelation. Yeah? Let's take an example. The category of dogs, which is Wawa, Great Dane, yeah, Saluki, Corgi. These are all different kinds of dogs, aren't they? But they come under the heading dog. So we say that the dog is the controlled concept. So lots of variations on it. And when you're doing intellectual work, you have to do that. Are you a boy or a girl? You have to categorize yourself. Are you a boy or a girl? You're a boy or a girl. Yes. You mean you accept the idea of hermaphroditic being? That nobody's merely a boy or merely a girl. Yes, everybody's both. You're going to stress action someone or the other. So you categorize yourself as an androgyn, a hermaphrodite, a dual polarized being. And you accept that. And you have in you an implication. Logic for your masculinity and emotional apprehension for your femaleness. Yeah? Do you accept that?
Mm-hmm.
And when you go on the male side, you start writing words down to name the categories of your being. And you think and you feel and you will, and you have a spinal coordinator. Yeah? And the field, the biofield, is having the coordination through the spine of head, chest and tongue. And you're telling yourself in words. Now how many words do you need? How many muscles are there in the body?
I don't know.
Is there a doctor in the house? How many hundred muscles are there in the body? Enough to make it. And once you're a nurse, you're schizophrenic. And she used to annoy everybody by reciting the names of all the muscles in the body incessantly. There's a lot of them. Well, if you're going to do the intellectual way, you have to know the name and the form and the function of everything. Triple F for everything. You've got two nostrils, have you? Is there a bone in between them to separate them? Why? Why don't you have one nice round nostril? Oh, that's not a bad idea. You smell something on the right and something on the left. That could be true. Could be true. Because in the animal world, some animals go, lion over there. Wild boar over there. They actually do this. If you watch deer and things like that, the prey that's living here, they're always doing it. Look at the rabbit's nose. Rabbits can actually smell the breeze on this side, the breeze on that side. And they know there's a stink old drunken alcoholic man there, and a very charming girlfriend over there, they're lording him. And they can smell both simultaneously. Now, you've got a good idea of how you divide your nose, haven't you? There's also another reason. When you're breathing through your right nostril, you breathe positively, and through the left negatively. One is solar breath, one is lunar breath. Now, did you know that before we said it now?
Yeah.
No. Did you know that roughly on 2.5 hour each, about 58 minutes, 4 seconds, the normal person changes from one nostril to the other? But if you are to do it intellectually, you have to know everything like that. Why have we got five fingers, five toes, five senses? One in the thumb, two in the chest, one bone, two bones, five bones. Yeah. One bone, two bones in the forearm, five. Why are we doing this 1, 2, 5 thing? You know? It's just an explanation. And are you intellectually categorizing yourself in detail? And is it not a long job? Yeah. That is the short way. The short way is whatever it is, and whether you know it or not, love it. Whatever it is. And can you do that without examining it?
How can you
do something you don't know? Easy. Whatever it is, and whatever it is backed by the will of God, so I accept it. You see, you're showing yourself intellectually bad. Why not make this quick, short leap of love? Divine love loves everything, including ferritin' pants. Anything, whatever, you see.
So whatever it costs you, that ferritin' pants,
it could be doing you a favour and keeping you out of trouble. Either you see it, you can do it by an act of love, absolutely. The whole universe is a function of an absolute power which we call God. God is all in all, everything in everything. Now, as He is absolute intelligence, it's okay. So by an act of love, we can love it, whatever it is. It was very nice when the burglars came in and stole our trinkets and things. And amongst the antiques they took was a carving I did about that thing. I was out saying, in builder's plaster, which I coloured a bit so like an antique, unless I thought it was, and they took it away. You were also taking the book with all the drawings in. That's a mark of good taste, isn't it? you can love whatever it is. Huh?
Not the original.
Not the original. No. The original is out in the field. They're what Plato called the numinal world. I want to read all of them. I can look in the same place I saw them the first time. And funny enough, the owner doesn't care if I pinch them. Doesn't even care if I sell them. And don't give him the money. He's got very funny, no money. Money means affirmed for counting purposes. And implies to speak bits, coins, or bits of paper. Ultimate reality is a continuum. It has no points, no coins, no separativity. It's not interested in money. The interest in money, mammon worship, is the idea that you can get finites and pile them out like this and eventually reach heaven, standing on the top coin. That's called mammon worship. Not true. When they tried that in Babylonia, they built a tower to reach the heaven. And they had to have a wide base and then go around and for stability, narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. And when you got to the top peak, it was still short. There's the all-seeing eye on the back of American money above the pyramid. We can't usurp God's position. He is infinite intelligent power. We can be clever and collect stuff, but we can't get this position. It's not logical. The whole thing is so simple, it's annoying. Because on the intellectual game, you're collecting. You don't need to see that marvelous horror film the other night, Half-Life, about the Marshall Islands, and blowing people up and putting innocent natives there, exposing them to radiation, to the mothers and the babies dying, until finally one native charming lady's mother, having lost children, said, "The Americans are awful smart at doing stupid things. But the fellows in charge of those experiments, fellows before the public, said, after these experiments and this information will benefit the human race." What does that mean? They destroyed a lot of people, a lot of animals, killed babies, but the information received made them intellectually clever, more so than they were before. How do you like it? Now, the men that said it on the program were not the men that initiated the mathematics that made it possible to make the nuclear bomb. They were only tools of the hidden men in the back room. And they were all guilty. Like the men that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. Didn't they become neurotic? They were only tools. And we call this method of gathering knowledge so that man, by means of intellectual processes, shall be able to invade God, Cain raising. We call it Cain raising because Cain means cannibal. And he murdered his brother, Abel, which means faith. And when faith is killed, then God put a mark on the intellect, the mark of Cain, and said, "Let no man kill him, because now the universe has to evolve to an intellectual technique which needs no faith." You sacrifice offer to God is an intellectual offering of material empiricism. And God says, "The reason I didn't accept your offering is because sin rises at the door. You're being clever." Abel wasn't being clever, he was minding sheep. And when man thinks he's making an offering for evolving and controlling the evolution of the human race to make the perfect man, they actually said at one point, a mutation might arise from this. This mutation would be a new kind of human being, so clever that you lot will be like nothing. You will deserve to be annihilated in the name of the new mutant man that we shall make. How do you like it? How do you like to be classed by those men in that way? You're coming to be superseded by a new mutation. Do you like it? So-called scientific knowledge of empiricism. I know much about it, but it's rubbish. And I see a colossal brain like Patrick Moore pronouncing on the non-influence of interplanetary forces. I can only say he's better on his xylophone. But the world is full of smarties, you know. And they write books, and the history of science is a history of exploded hypotheses.
What is not nonsense?
Now, sense and nonsense are opposed, that Lao said. You can't have sense without nonsense. Right? They're opposite concepts, aren't they? Right, nonsense is the voidity of the absolute within itself. It's not sensible. You can't get at it with your sense organs. Sensible is what your sense organs can see. Yeah? What your sense organs cannot see and never will see is all super sensible. It's beyond the reach of sense organs. And tell me, when you use your eye to see a thing at the light, what is looking at the light? Is it your eyeball? Is it the iris? Is it the pupil? Is it the retina? Is it the nerve? Is it the ocular center? Well, the pupil in your eye, it's called pupil. It says the word pupil means retina. And it's a retina looking through that eye. And it's pupil means pool and pill. And the pool means the power of the will, and the pill means reason. So when you're looking through your pupil, you are the retina looking through it, and you're looking for power and the rationale of how to get it. That's what makes you a pupil. You're actually looking for power. It's a total waste of time. You take the high road, I'll take the low road, and he's going to mean something before the other one. And if so, will he be a such a snack in you? And we don't do enough hard thinking, quickly enough, often enough to give it up. Plotinus said it very simply. First, perfect your intellect. Then, throw it away. And go back to the will, which is ultimate love. In yoga, you have jnana yoga, yoga of knowledge, karma yoga, yoga of action, kriya yoga, all kinds of yogas. But the yoga is Raja yoga. One only, bhakti yoga. Yoga of love is the only yoga in which the beginning, middle, and end are identical. When you want knowledge, you want it to gain power. If you want power, you want it to gain dominion over other beings. But when you go for love, you don't want dominion over anything. What you want to do is have exactly the same attitude to all created beings, uncreated beings, that the original absolute creator has towards now, whereby they are maintained. Commitment. The egotistic structure is finite. And it cannot bear letting go of its finitude because it thinks you'll have no thing to focus on without it. It won't. What it will have is infinite validity. Equals God. Because the word void is V-O, I-D. V-O is the will, and I-D is short for idea, form, intellect. Validity is the perfect balance of non-manifest intelligent power. But not manifest. And if you know if you got rid of your egotism, you would not lose, you would gain everything that your egotism is afraid of. Does it matter, really? You will be dead in a few years, all of you. What are you fighting for? What do you want? When you leave your brass plate under the door, to be unscrewed by the next occupant of your house, and come with the brass stove, very little. One of my favourite nuisances is going around old churchyard and reading on the stones. He's run a mile away from here and he says, wife died such a day. Happy release. The stone was put there by the husband. The world is funny, you know. How do you feel about it? Do you really know your position? You'll all be dead. In a few years, certainly within 100. Unless our friends and political scientists invent a new theorem for certainty, so that you're as good as he told, deep freeze all the time when you're walking about. That can be done, you know. How would you like to be safe from corruption? By injection. You go every month for an anti-corruption injection. Those with the bad memory smell a bit. New sex, then. You mean life? Well, the infinite before creation, yes? Is an infinite power, infinite intelligence, infinite presence itself. It's the one we can call Allah. Allah simply means all life. Yes? Without division. Original, infinite, all life. And this life said to Muhammad, he said it to other people too, I was a hidden treasure. I desired to be known, therefore I created the world. Now imagine all our potential, all of us here, a little band, following you from our friends, so on, if you like. This little group here are eternal forms in the absolute intelligence. No. Egotistical means crucified on the ego. They're not crucified. They just are what they are. Differentiations of the absolute. Yes? Well, take, they're not created before time. They're eternally what they are, not created. The base for creation is Kra, K-R-A, which means art, K-R-K. And to draw a line there is to separate them from the other. Otherwise they're not created. They're there, in their absolute mutual interpenetration. But they're not arced off from each other. They're all in the absolute interpenetration that good Christians like to think they're in most of the time. Now the eternal world is a world of power, intelligence, form. Triple S, force, form, function. Absolutely inseparable. Not yet arced off from each other. So all forms are mutually interpenetrated, with each one is unique. So it makes a vast symphony. So they all have a vibration and therefore a sound. It's called the harmony of the spheres by the ancients. And it's true, it makes sound. Everybody has a frequency and makes a sound. It's actually record you. And today, with the electrode technique, you could be recorded and a print made of your vibrational pattern that's as unique as your fingerprint. So much so that you could use it on a little device, a card, so that you could open your car with it and nobody else could. Because we've all got this unique individual vibratory pattern of infinite sentient power. That's right. And we are here to learn that fact. Prior to creation, we don't know it. We are absolutely interpenetrating everybody, but we don't know what it's like to be alone and isolated. And that's why the serpent was allowed in the Garden of Eden.
But did we know each other before the fall then?
No, you didn't. You're too damn busy. You. In eternity. Not egotistic. The IST always means the truth tribe. Yes, innocently different.
So everybody that ever has been, is now and ever will be.
That's right.
Is a vibratory spirit in the
infinite. That's right. Yes.
And has always been.
And always will be. But they can and will to put full stress on themselves.
What about before the first turn of every standard?
The first turn is the beginning of time.
But we were all there before the first
church. Oh, yes. You can't have that infinite power without an infinity of modalities within it. And each one of us is a unique modality of that power eternally.
And they drop down at different... What happens in time?
They identify.
I see. to make up a sequential illusion.
Wrong you. Because thereby, you become aware of what's rightness. You can't know what rightness is without wrongness. The word beginning means head of receiving. Before the receiving starts, all that we now know is there. Before the receiving. And that before the receiving is called eternity. And eternity means hey, trinity, threefold life affirmation. The word eternity means life, threefold, affirm, thought, feeling, will, in every being. Now the absolute, that knows itself absolutely, is a will, generous will, to generate its identity like itself, in the image of God created in man. Creating God, an infinity of God, to increase the fun and game in manifestation. And if we can cooperate with each other in an intelligent, harmonious manner, we are actually behaving like God's power does in itself prior to creation. It's called a sport of delight, a game, a play, lila. Delight means from intelligence. Light means consciousness. That means there's really nothing whatever to strive for. There already is. What we've got to do is stop at the secret of striving to be so much taller than somebody else and help everybody else to be as tall as we would like to be. We do that spontaneously. Parent with children, you want to educate your children to a higher level than you, don't you?
That's the
question
of elect.
Pardon? That means don't push it. Because the will of the absolute is to make everything perfect. It will always be like that. Always will be like that. So instead of saying, I will design the method of success and imposed upon people, signed by me, and good deed done by me to human race. Yeah? I got the Nobel Prize 3 times. Well, I wish it to be known. And then it's mentioned in the Encyclopedia Britannica, edition 21 or something. I don't want anybody to burn that edition, because it's a new edition without my name in it. Because of fear, which he described, the egotistic identified with trinity is terrified of vaudity. That means that vaudity is absolute wisdom and power. In Japanese Buddhism, it's all there. The doctrine of the void, sunya, the void. It's there. You are already void. And if you try to fill the vaudity with trinity, to hang on to, and they're not worth hanging on to. They're rubbish. Let go. Be interested in everything, affirm everything, love everything, and what you call wisdom will be there with you. But not if you don't love it. Why haven't you got a will to circumcise? God is doing it already for you.
But
if God's already willed you that area. You can't get out of the area he's willed for you.
What relationship
between
that circumscribed area and infinity, so that infinity
doesn't
push that circumscribed area?
How can infinity crush anything? Infinity has no barriers. And when you're crushing, there's a link interface. If I want to crush my thumb with my finger, I press them together, yeah? There's an interface there. But in the continuum, that discretion is not present, is it? You can't have a God other than you, pressing on you in the continuum. The vibratory behavior of absolute intelligence keeps things in being, and it allows an absolute freedom to be uniquely what it wills them to be. Intellectually,
yes.
You're falling down into intellectual. Intellect is the enemy. Intellect is the thing that murdered Abel. Intellect is the thing that made the first city, the first civilization, the first teaching mechanism in the world, and is running the world today materially. The material world is entirely changing. And it's going to be overthrown by its own inconsistency.
The will.
You mean how do you change the will? You are yourself the willing being. You mean how do you change your purpose?
Yes.
How do you give yourself another aim?
Yes, but from that one is conscious, which gets into the idea that there's no point in carrying on fighting that if you can just stop and just call in the focus of the state.
Are you convinced that the intellect cannot get you where you want to go? Or do you think maybe by a little trick you can get there?
You can tell by everything that scientists can
argue
that
if
you
learn
one thing, then you have to learn another thing, and another thing,
and
another thing,
it grows
smaller and smaller,
larger and larger. Well, why don't they stop? They still believe they can do it. When I was a little boy, there was a belief in the atom, not yet destroyed. They attacked it, and it broke. And you got the cook tube, and you got the television screen, and so on. Out of that. Now, when they hit what they thought was the last atom, do you know what happened? It bred more of them. Just bred. Why? Because it was only a zone in an infinite field of power. It wasn't a pulse. It was a focus of power. So when they hit it hard, it became many, many focuses. Because of the energy input to try to break it. And they knew that. But they still think there's a way around it. They think if they destroy enough people, and radiate enough people, they might get a mutant, which they hope will be one of their own children, who will boss all the other children, and then eliminate them as no longer needed on Earth. That's their dream. It's a nightmare, really. So that's the way they think. Someday you have power. On Earth, then the Moon, Mars, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Pluto, and all places beyond. Full space platforms. See? That's all they think. Isn't a mad dream? Quite mad. But they can't let go of the will to the power. They're still building the Babylonian tower to happen. And they're not logical enough to know it can't be done. Now the moment you're absolutely convinced that you can't win, you're then at the point where you say, okay, I give in. Now I love the whole thing. Because the whole thing has brought me to this point of self-contradiction, whereby suddenly I'm looking for me. Not the world I'm going to conquer, but me. But if I did conquer the world, am I not in charge of it? Have I not got universal responsibility? I'm not even on holiday. I'm like God, there's no holiday for me. But where you're not sure, you will not do the act of love. You will do a calculation to escape that act. Absolutely easy for one. And that's like it's the seed of the woman to bruise the head of the serpent, not the seed of the man. And when men make sperm, each sperm is a unique individual in the atomic structure. But the ova in a woman are not like that. The ovum is an eternal, unspoiled, sentient sphere. which can receive form from a male without itself falling. So a woman can appreciate the wholeness of reality where the intellectually stressed man cannot. So the woman has got to save the man. And it's that that makes wives push husbands to improve. But in their zeal to improve him, they forget what the little boy he is really. The husband they've got his own 4 or 5 psychologically. The women in their hurry to perfect the men hit them too hard and reduce their lives by 15 years in current statistics. But the men are trying to think how to do it. It's in the battlefield, beginning of time, it's in matriarchs, patriarchs, buff the women, buff the men. And the women have always had the idea of perfecting their male or mate. But the men have always had the idea of show off, with muscles and bows and arrows, sticks and stones, and nuclear weapons and so on. So it's only in battle between man and woman. But a very intelligent woman can say, he doesn't want to improve relations, you know. He wants bigger and better this, that and the other. So how can I actually educate him towards it? And I know he doesn't want it. He doesn't want the kind of education the woman wants to give him. She wants to make him into a universal lover. But he wants to be a universal knower. Now the woman that knows that can inhibit the tendency to correct the man is going to correct him. But she needs a tremendous amount of patience because it's his intent to have the knowledge to be intelligent. The difficult relations, the maddest and wildest relation in the world, man and woman. Yes, but what does silence mean? It means the same as void. Like using Indians in moulding, you've got the earth, water, fire, air, ether. And the ether is the void. The ether is sound there. It's all the sonorous ether, sound there. Now, silence is when all possible things that can be said are said simultaneously. Do you know what happens if you do that with a graph of a wave? You put a wave like this, yeah? Then you put another wave where the crest and then the trough of the other one and it's flat. It's apparently silent. It's really full of all conceivable wise things. To show us of all Jewish and Irish jokes. You mean to hear? If you are silent. If you are silent in two things. Yeah, if you listen in your head, you hear voices. So the recorded voices occur to your ancestors of your great battle. They're all talking at once. In the revelation talking of sound and many waters. And these waters are nations and peoples and languages. Your church weapon is recording something. It's recorded for you everything ever said by your total ancestors. And when you listen, you're very smart. And when they all speak simultaneously, you are free. Because they're giving you contradictory advice. And in that freedom, you can then look at the immediate moments you need in the time historical process and see what is recommended for next evolutionary step. The error is in not listening. First commandment, Shema Yisrael, Here I was here. The Lord thy God is one God. Yes? And that word, one, is got three letters. It's got three letters in the Hebrew also. And the first letter is nominal seal, the next letter is hierarchical power, and the third letter is action. That's how it means. A nominal field containing all wisdom and power attributes of that field and derives action from it. That's one. That's the meaning of one. You can hear it if you listen, but not if you don't. How are we doing in your department? How's your temperature? Oh. Thank you. You're quite healthy. I can see that. What have you picked him down to? I did ask you a question, you didn't ask me. Beginning means head of a series. Yes? Before the series starts, is not the beginning. It's eternity. What you meant by I didn't answer your question, I didn't give you something that would fit in, is your already formal interpretation of the word beginning. Now, beginning is not beginning. Now, that means woman. Yes? Something is tangible to that beginning, the animal. Begin means positive woman. In an act of creating, God, who is infinite spirit, has to deposit a sphere of substance in the Hebrew, that's men. And that substance is female to the God spirit that deposited it. So putting a woman there and putting a substantial existence in the middle of an infinite spirit for starting. You got it? To do what? No, no, it can't do that. That's the misuse of terms. The infinite spirit is pure initiative and it cannot demonstrate itself without resistance to initiative, and the resistance is substantial precipitation of the power which is the initiative self-committed. Yes? To be resistance, which is feminine. You get it? That the feminine aspect is resistant to male dominion. To do male, to favor. Don't let it get you off of a man. Because it's the wrong offer. Say in the sexual situation. When did you ever hear of a woman who satisfied you what she got from a man? For more than 2 seconds. You've got levels on you. Now, physically, emotionally, mentally, intellectually, there never was a woman on earth yet that was totally satisfied with what her male partner had to offer her. So she has to resist him and throw it back on him, and that individuates him. That's a nice piece of dialectic, because when he's individuated, he won't do it himself. It was awful, yes. And the heyday of the great matriarchs it was. Even the ladies complained about it and looked forward to a rebellious husband. It's very, very tricky and very, very simple. Absolute spirit is pure initiative. It cannot demonstrate its powers to itself without creating a resistance. Yes? Why vicious? Why not useful circle? You know, I've often said this, I'll say it again, but this time to you. The worst thing a human being can do is trying to fit in a statement to what he's already got. He doesn't stand conditions by the form of its own content. And it can't take the new statement and make it fit its pattern, unless its pattern is already directly absolute. And that's why you have to make that leap, not intellectually step by step, a leap to love. You have to say, I don't understand it intellectually, but I do know this. It is a function of the absolute, whatever it is, and as such has absolute justification and validity, and therefore is lovable, therefore I love it. Whether it's got blue eyes or brown. That's the big leap. So the leap of faith that it cannot be done intellectually. But the human being is always trying to intellectually make a pattern assimilable to it at its then level of understanding. That's why the Japanese invented the trance. You say, O-A-N. It's a contradictory statement that intellect cannot deal with. That one is the sound of the clapping of one hand. And don't keep that going like this. The universe is a dialectical structure. Dialectic asserts or denies simultaneously all conceivable opposite propositions. Now, if you do that, you're okay. You're in the void and you're at optimal intelligence level. If you don't do that, you're not. You're fumbling about with a series of ideas that will develop intellectually through time and never culminating what you want. In the relation of love, totally, the whole thing. How do you feel about that? You know, tendency inside yourself to defend yourself. And why is it there? It's the same as this young fellow that we've heard before. It's frankly losing its reference. I don't know what to do with it, let go of what it's got. That's another way of saying the same thing, you know. Because if you lose your reference, it's equivalent to non-being. And you don't like non-being. You know, women are more faithful to the material world than men are. Men can die very easily for a medal. Much more easier than women can. Along with whole shops and inventing, they were substantial recipients of the attentions of men. And therefore they're called materia, mother law. Materia means mother earth. A woman is biased that way because sexually she's essentially a recipient of forces of intellectual initiative in the male. And she doesn't really like that, it's unfair. So that's how it is arranged by the action. So the polarity, only the stress strain in the opposition and the battle of male-female can a male ultimately be evolved. So the rabbis would say, a man cannot go to heaven without a wife. He must have a female to contradict him. She won't contradict him unless he's legally married to him. Because he's got no security. Hard life.
Is that the foul male female?
Yes. Then you've got the nucleus in the living cell. Yes. There are some cells with no visible nucleus, but they do have a dynamic center. If in a normal cell you have a nucleus, and then round it some plasma. And the plasma is female to the nucleus. All cellular life is hermaphroditic.
For whatever level.
Okay, thank you very much. Happy Easter.